And so I noticed this was going on with him, and he was bragging about it. And then first of all, I had to put him in his place. And first of all, ain't nobody jealous of what's going to do for you. If they're led by the Lord. If they're led by the Lord and not witchcraft.
Okay.
And not charm.
It
could be your season and your time if they're led by the Lord. But whatever you're doing. Whatever you're saying to people. And I remember we was at the restaurant, and all of a sudden this woman, our waitress, going to come over. And all of a sudden she started talking about all her problems. I said, ain't going to make me give you no bigger tip than what God has already told me to give you. All of a sudden now she want to talk about all of her financial problems. Come on here, Zion. That's to draw you in. And to make you feel sorry and sad for them so you'll give them more than the tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ain't got to do that. I'm a tipper anyway.
All right now.
Oh, I give God praise in this house. I have no problem with blessing anybody that God tells me to bless. I will give you the shirt off my back if God tells me to do it. And we've proven that many times, and some of you have proven that many times. But beware in this season of charms that'll draw you in and have you giving everything. It's not God led. It's not led by the Holy Spirit. So here it is. Now Absalom. Everybody say Absalom.
Absalom.
He was a smooth operator, you know. He was a charmer, and he was good looking, and he had this pizzazz about him. And everybody was moved by his handsome features and stature. And they were just automatically drawn into him. The girls would just drool over him. The brothers wanted to be him. Y'all better hear me up in here. So see, he had a posse to follow him. Look at chapter 18. Go to chapter 18. Absalom relished the limelight. He loved being in the limelight. And if he lived today, if he was living today, he would surely be surrounded by the paparazzi. And he would have great admirers, male and female admirers. He lived his life in a grand fashion, you know, flamboyant type of lifestyle. He had incredible style and charm of the hearts of the people from the very beginning. From the very beginning. All he had to do was just show up. And people were just drawn in by him. He drove a marvelous chariot. He had 50 men running before him. When he would enter the city, he came in a parade. He had 50 men on feet running before him. He was truly an aristocrat. In every sense of the word, Absalom was full of beauty, full of charisma, and quite sadly, he was full of himself. You know, you ever seen some folks that, and I understand when I said it in the context of being able to celebrate yourself, but you ever seen folks that, you know, they're anointed and know it? They can sing and know it. They can preach and know it. They can play instruments and know it. You understand what I'm saying? They have that sense of it's arrogance, like, you know, you need me. You gotta have me. And the best thing that you can do for some folks is let them know, you know, we thank you, we appreciate you for your gift or for whatever you bring to the table, and all, but we ain't got to have you. We were making it before you got here. And if you just choose to up and leave, we're gonna make it when you leave. Come on, Zion. And some people, you have to come that way with them so that they won't think that, you know, you can't survive without them, or that they're indispensable. And so people that oftentimes have to depend on Holy Spirit and seek Holy Spirit for their anointing, they're more humble than folks that are anointed and just, you know, they just say they stuff. They know that they got a gift. And they flaunt it. They know that they have it. Okay? But see, when you have a gift, You have to remember who gave it to you.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Everything you have, God gave you. Yes. Everything that you are, God made you. And so you have to always take that posture of, I didn't get this on my own. God gave it to me. Had it not been for God, I wouldn't have this gift. I couldn't do what I do. Had it not been for the Lord. Because I know any day God can raise up anybody to run circles around me. If he want to raise up one of these children. The second church I pastored had gifted kids. I'm talking about little children that can prophesy. Little children that can give you a word from heaven. And so any given day, God can bring folks through those doors that are run circle around you. Don't think we just got to have. And I'm not being mean or cruel about this. I'm just telling you the God held truth, as my mama say. You know, he will do it every time. He will bring in folks just to shut the mouth of the wicked. He will bring in people and raise up people just to shut the mouth of the arrogant.
Yes, he will.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. They are seeing it every day in the financial department there. They are seeing how God just sending in finances.
Yes, that's right.
Sending in finances. This church is not going to fold under.
That's right.
Oh, come on, Zion. It's not going under. Number one, it's not man built. It's not man called. Do you know God will take two or three? That's all he needs. Where two or three are gathered together in his name. He's right there in the midst. He can become the majority. And it's with him that we can do great things. God can take three of us in this house that can be equivalent to a house full. Oh, come on up in here. How do you think the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians are building these great big buildings and edifices and churches and temples and got 8 members?
Okay.
Their churches are not filled. Their churches are not filled. You can go in there and maybe 15 people up in there, but they got a building that's probably appraised for several million dollars. It's the commitment of the crew that's in there. Of the people that's there. It's the commitment. It's the dedication. It's the belief in what we have. That has been the question of this house. How many real believers do we have? Do you really believe in this vision? We say it every Sunday. We give the vision statement. We give the mission statement every Sunday. Do you really believe that we are called to do these things? If you believe it, you'll support it. Come on, son. But God is doing it in his own way. And I'm going to tell you something. He's getting ready to fill the house. Not that we'll move by numbers. Okay? Not that we're caught up in numbers. But he's going to fill the house in this next season. People are coming from various places, as it was with my first and second church that I pastored. I've pastored several churches since then, but as it was with my first and second church that I pastored, people migrated from a 100-mile radius just to get to our morning service. Just to get to our morning service. They would get up early in the morning, and they would leave their houses, and they would drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours. An hour just to get to the morning service. Y'all better hear me. And it was at that time that God says, I'm going to give this church a facelift. It was at that time that the old members kept complaining and murmuring and fault finders with everything and nasty disposition and couldn't get along with each other, couldn't get along with me. Come on now. Couldn't get along with nobody. And so here it is. God started sending people that before I could even ask a thing, they was already taken care of. They were on the job. And it was like one person could be and was equivalent to 5. One person would come in and do the job of 5 and was anointed to do it. Wasn't worn out or tired and didn't feel like they were being used.
That's right.
Oh, come on up right here. But they had it in their heart. They wanted to do it. They desire to do it.
Hallelujah.
They didn't complain while doing it. But here it is. This Absalom. He was a charmer. During his lifetime, Absalom, in 2 Samuel, go to 2 Samuel chapter 18. And look at verse number 18. During his lifetime, Absalom had taken a pillar and erected it in the king's valley as a monument to himself. His statue. Now, it ain't even your time. It wasn't even his time or his season. Let's hear it in King James Version. Somebody read 18 and 18 for me. Go there.
Right. Now, Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's place.
Now, it wasn't even his time to be exalted more than his dad. Come on here. I'll tell you something about my third church. My third church that I pastored. I had a young man there. He's a prophet now. Maybe even pastoring. I've lost contact with him. But he came up under my auspices. And he was one of my ministers at the time. And, you know, I wasn't thinking along those lines. We was getting ready to have a conference. And I was said to all of the elders, all of the clergy and presbyters there at my church, I said, we're getting ready to have a conference, and some of you prophets are going to be used in this conference. So I'm getting some cards, some business cards made for myself, and I want each of you to get some business cards made, and we're going to display all of them out on the front table there in the foyer. There, when the people come, because they may want to get some of your cards and, you know, some of your business cards, and maybe some of you get speaking engagement. See, I'm not jealous.
That's right.
I believe in pushing and promoting.
Amen.
I know that I've done my part, but I can raise you up, that you can take this thing further than I could ever take it.
Yes.
That's my desire. And so I was telling all of the elders there, I said, you know, we're going to get these cards, we're going to put them out there on display, and all of y'all have your business cards out there right along with me, so that when people come, they can get your business card, after my ministry business cards, not their, if they were in their own business, that's not what I was talking about, but for the ministry, and because of the conference. And so, this minister at the time stood up, he says, oh, no, Dan, no. And everybody looked, he says, it's not our time and season to do such a thing right along with you. You're the visionary here. You're the set man here in this house. And we want to push and promote your cards. Push and promote this ministry that God has. It's not our time to be promoted or to come alongside of you like that. I didn't really think anything of it. I'm like giving them opportunity. You know, I wasn't thinking like, you know, you're equalizing with me. But the humility that this young man displayed, because he recognized that, no, some of us ain't even ready for that right now. To even be recognized on the same level with you, and can't handle that type of position. And so, you know, it was voted upon with them, and they would say, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to promote and push your cards and this ministry cards and, you know, this kind of thing. And which was a very noble act and a noble thing to do. But it didn't dawn on me that, you know, it would be taken that way. And so I saw his humility in this. But there are those, as it was with this Absalom, you have to be aware. And it sometimes, when you get over into this, now it becomes very open. But the main thing that I'm trying to show us today is how this subtle, hidden, underlining, cloaking spirit of Absalom is in the midst now, and you can miss it. But even here in this 18th chapter, this 18th verse, you are seeing now where Absalom is really trying to put his status on the same status of that with King David, his daddy. There was none under David that had a statue of themselves in their front lawn and yard or had a monument unto themselves. That was only given for this the level of kingship.
Okay.
It was only given for the level of kingship. And sometimes this subtle Absalom moves, but this open defiant Absalom moves in a way that it's trying to equalize. If he don't do it, I won't do it. If he don't call, I'm not gonna call. Oh, y'all hear me up in here. If he don't speak to me, I ain't gonna speak to him. Who are you talking to? Who are you? You ain't talking about some common equalizer on your job or in your hood. You talking about your pastor.
That's it.
Right.
Okay.
Word.
But see, it's an equalizing spirit.
Yes, it is. In the land.
It's an equalizing spirit, and you have to watch this spirit of Absalom. Because it will try to put itself on the same level with the leadership.
Yes.
Now, something that Arthur brings out here that I thought was so key with this Absalom spirit. I think now all of this. Thank you, Jeremiah, for not having anything to preach.
Good word. Revelation.
We know Absalom's anger that came through what happened to his sister Tamar and all from his half-brother Amnon. Most of us know that story. But when rebellion smiles, everybody say, when rebellion smiles.
When rebellion smiles.
The Absalom spirit is alive and well in the Christian world today. It is probably harder of all the other spirits to spot. It's a hard spirit to detect. The subtle charm of Absalom is hard to detect as a spirit that has a hidden agenda or from the enemy. You think it's because they like you. But that's the way they're going to present it. Like you're one of their favorites and they admire you and they like you. Those who are controlled by the Absalom spirit are like Absalom of the Old Testament. On the surface, they are kind, loving, and adored by almost everyone. When a person is surrendered to the spirit of Absalom, he or she looks poised and just so precious on the outside, but is poisoned and polluted on the inside. More often than not, these people lead a smiling rebellion against God's ordained leaders. True motives of the Absalom spirit is hidden from most people who get tangled in the web of deceit until it's too late. So they have, in other words, they have so operated out of this Absalom spirit and so been connected and engulfed by this Absalom spirit that they start to deceive themselves. They are so engulfed by it that they're deceived and they wait until it's too late. Their deception have deceived them for so long that they don't realize that they're headed to destruction for operating in the spirit of deception. Now, the Lord spoke to me and said, Johnny, he said that your warfare has been different, and this is not a usual type of spiritual warfare that you've been engaging in. This is an unusual spiritual warfare that you've been engaging in because you are in the midst of masterful deceivers. Y'all better hear me. Masterful deceivers. Masterful deceivers know how to use charm. They are so skillful in using charm that they'll come like they have the best mannerisms. They're polite and kind and loving. Y'all better hear me up in here. But all at the same time, they have a hidden agenda. There are many characteristics that you should be aware of when trying to identify whether or not the Absalom spirit has launched an invasion. Now, just only one that I'm going to deal with today, and I'll deal with the rest of it in the school of the prophets, perhaps. But the author points out here that Absalom was driven by anger. We do know that because he was so furious with what happened to his sister Tamar concerning his older brother, half-brother, Amnon. You know, he raped Tamar and wounded her for life. She never got over it, and neither did Absalom. Outwardly, now, the author points out here that Absalom was angry, and all of this stuff stemmed from anger. Let me tell you something, no matter how sweet they sound, no matter how kind they sound, anger is at the surface. Y'all better hear me up in here. When there's an Absalom spirit, they can sound like they got sugar running out of their mouth. But if underlining, of course there's no gender, but underlining is angry. It's an angry spirit and it's mad with authority. And it's mad with what you, hurry back to all you, it's mad with what you stand for. And there's an underlining spirit. So it can sound so sweet, so loving, so kind. But in essence, behind closed doors is angry. It's mad with because for some reason, for some reason, okay, testing 1, 2. Let the intercessors pray. Y'all don't be surprised at that.
Hallelujah.
For some reason, because it's not getting its way, it's not being recognized, it's not in the position that it wants, so it can come across as, I'm with it, I'm okay with it, but underlining is angry, it's furious, it's upset with you. Oh, I give God praise in this house. Y'all better hear me in this. You ain't going to shut me down now. If I can go through 4 microphones, we're going to get it out. Hallelujah. And so here it is. The author points out that outwardly, those controlled by the spirit of Absalom seem calm. They seem cool and collected. They're composed. This is working. Okay. They're composed external demeanor only shields the fiery, volcanic anger that lies just beneath the surface. You ain't sweet, you're mad. You ain't kind, you're angry. You ain't loving, you're upset. Oh, y'all better hear Zion. And so it lies just beneath the surface. Today's version of Absalom is frustrated and irritated with where he or she is in life. He believes he should be more or have more. Inwardly, he feels cheated because he is not further along as it relates to a personal ambition. Here at Zion, this frustration only fuels the inferno of anger within the anger within that drives him toward rebellion on the outside. Be careful in aligning yourself with people who seem to be one thing but are actually another. Regardless of how sweetly, okay, the author said it. Okay, now? He says here, regardless of how sweetly it is packaged, rebellion is always an outward manifestation of an inward condition. How rebellion manifests is not relevant. What is relevant is this fact. Rebellion against God's ordained leader is never acceptable and is always a sin. Is always a sin. Absalom of old was angry because he was carrying someone else's offense. someone else's offense. He was offended with David, his daddy. He was offended with David because of what? Okay, I'm in the book. He was offended with David because of what had happened with Tamar. He thought his daddy did not give Amnon the correct punishment that he deserved. Because of what happened to Tamar, and he detested the way in which his father responded to the whole thing. I don't like the way you did this thing concerning my sister. That's what Absalom was saying. Tamar. See, I don't like it how you did my sister. Not his sister, but how you did Amnon. He felt like Amnon got off easy. So he was mad with David. He was absolutely convinced that he would be a better king than David because he would have handled the situation differently.
Okay.
How many times have I heard, I don't think you should have openly rebuked that person. You should have pulled him to the side. You should have called him in your office. You should have called him on the phone. You should shut up. Regardless of how sweetly it is packaged, rebellion is always an outward manifestation of an inward condition. Here it is. Let me bring this to a close. The bottom line was Absalom was mad and Absalom wanted his way. Those controlled by the Absalom spirit are mad and they want their way. Not only do they want their way, but they will also do anything to get it. They'll throw temper tantrums. Y'all better hear me, Zion. I said they'll throw temper tantrums. Now listen, I love what this author points out here, that even though we know that Absalom took it into his own hands to kill Amnon. He killed him. He killed his half-brother for what he did to his sister Tamar. But it wasn't his place to execute the judgment. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. It wasn't his place to even tell his daddy how to do it. He went past the king and executed judgment on Amnon. He surpassed David, the set man of the house. And he second-guessed and questioned his daddy's authority. Y'all better hear me, Zion. And here it is that when this spirit is subtly moving, all of a sudden we get pew pastors. I can't hear Zion. All of a sudden, your opinion is higher than that of God's actions.
Wow.
I said, your opinion becomes higher than that of God's actions. This was trouble for Absalom. He went downhill. Now, the same charm and beauty that he was noted for. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this. Come on, Miko. The same charm and beauty that he was noted for. Remember now, he was the most handsome man of all of Israel, of all of Jerusalem, from his hair to his facial appearance to his stature. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He was noted. The Bible talks about his locks, his curly locks. He was noted for his curly hair. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here, Zion. And people praise him for his good hair. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Y'all ever seen Chris Rock's episode about good hair? He was praised for his good hair. Oh, I give you praise. But it was that same charm, that same feature, that caused him his death.
Mm-hmm.
When Joab was in pursuit of him, and because Absalom stepped out of his place and tried to usurp authority over his dad, he stepped out of his place trying to win the affection of the people away from the king. He stepped out of his place when he gave his own opinion. Y'all better hear this, Zion. So when he was running, and riding his horse trying to escape his judgment. His hair got caught up in the briars, in the tree. His, that beautiful hair got caught up. Oh, y'all better hear me, Zion. In the briars, in the tree. And it was the very thing that entrapped him, the very thing that caused him to be captured. The very thing that caused him to be captured. Oh, I give you praise up in here. And so when they did catch up with him, and in 2015, sin is going to catch up with some folks. They don't want to hear me doing it. But in 2015, sin, the same measures you measure, the same measures you measure by will be measured back to you. Woo, thank you, Jesus. See, some folks don't understand it until it's thrown back in their face. They can misread you, misjudge you, talk about you, but when it's thrown back in their face, they can do it to everybody else. But when it's done to them, they want everybody and their mama to have mercy on them. But they want you to be cast into hell. Oh, see, that's okay. Y'all don't hear me up in here. See, it's all right as long as Absalom is charming you.
Good word.
Don't be moved by charm. Don't be moved by flattery. And don't be moved by gifts. Because before some folks say they're sorry, they'll buy you a gift. And still won't say I'm sorry. And still won't apologize. They'll put money in your hand. They'll bring you a gift. Clothes and jewelry. Oh, come on up and hear somebody. But what you need to do and save your money is to say I was wrong. I'm sorry. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I repent of my sin. I have erred. I have erred. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then renounce that spirit of charm. Say, God, everything that's surfacing, all this charm to draw folks in, God, get it off me. God, deliver me from all this charm and all this flattery. When I know I don't mean it. When I know I don't like it. When I don't like them. Hallelujah. When I don't like them. When I can't get along with them. They're really not my cup of tea. Y'all gonna hear me up in here. But I'm just gonna do this to save face. Oh, y'all know it's true. I'm just gonna do this to, you know, so that everybody in the church won't read me. Oh, can I go there, sister? So that everybody in the church won't read my mail, won't peep my car, won't find me out, and won't see me for who I really am. Oh, come on up in here, Zion, with your church smile. I'm not fooled by it. Michael Jackson told us back in the 70s and the 80s, he says, don't blame it on the pillow talk. Y'all better hear me up in here. Because folks will come and they will act like they're singing your praises. But inwardly, I can't stand it. I don't like it. I don't like her. Inwardly. But you can only go so far. You can only cloak for so long. You can only hide it for a little while. In the real you, the real you, God's going to orchestrate an event for the real you to stand up. You're like, what you say? I'm going to say, oh, I thought that's how you felt. I thought that was, that's the real you now. That's you. That's the real you. God will set up events for it to happen because it's in you. I said it's in you. Jesus. I feel the airways, y'all. She turned on the most. I feel something me go in the airways. You know what God told me? He says, Johnny, if they don't do right by you, I'm getting ready to send you to another people. Woo! And I'll hold them accountable for mistreating you, for disrespecting you, for putting their mouth on you. Judgment is right behind you. Judgment is in pursuit of you. I can't hear nobody inside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Who are you, Absalom? To put yourself on my level. Who
Absalom to equalize, to second guess.